Thank you, Matthew, and thanks again to everyone involved in producing that video and, of course, that mission trip. Just a moment's further prayer as we turn afresh to God's word. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of your word of life today. May it indeed be that very word of life to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God is generous. It's his very nature, isn't that so? And at Pentecost, we celebrate his generosity. Pentecost is a celebration. It's always been a celebration. Originally, it took place at the harvest festival for God's people. And it's at this celebration that we see God pouring out his Spirit visibly and publicly for the first time in human history. God is generous. And that's the theme of the verses that we heard today from Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. He pours his Spirit on all people, literally all flesh. It sounds as though God doesn't want anyone to miss out. The sense in that verse is there is more than enough in the generous love of God for everyone. The word used there, God pours out his Spirit, is a generous word. That phrase, pouring out, it reminds me. Let's say I'm having a meal with friends or a meal at a friend's house, and they offer dessert. And I'm trying to be polite. So I kind of say, well, no, thank you. Well, maybe just a little. And if my friend knows me really well, they say that I'm just trying to be polite. They know I'm just trying to be polite. So they say, oh, go on, have more than that, have some more. And inside I'm politely cheering. Well, God is like that. He pours out his Spirit on all flesh, not just as little as possible, but as much as possible. He gives and gives and gives, because generosity is his very nature. I wonder why it is sometimes that we don't really appreciate how generous God is towards us. But the history of God's people goes back much further than the day of Pentecost. You see that from when Peter is explaining what is going on. People are asking him what's going on, and he says, you see this, all this stuff that's happening? Well, this is that. And he points backwards to the days of the prophet Joel, words that he quoted in his sermon that we heard read, that God in the last days will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And many years before, the prophet Joel saw God at work actually through a swarm of locusts. And with the eyes of the prophet, he could see the significance in this beyond his own days, into God's final working out in the last days, as he calls them. And Peter says, this that's going on here is what that is all about. He makes the link between what's happening now and the great story of the way God works through his people through the ages. So Pentecost and the pouring out of God's Spirit is not a new idea that God kind of thought, oh, one morning, why don't I do that? No, it's not some new idea. It's the fulfillment of a long-term plan in the generous heart of God. Personally, rather than a birthday celebration for Pentecost, well, I find the image of a wedding celebration more helpful in appreciating what God is doing at Pentecost. I like to use the image of a wedding, or perhaps better, image of a marriage, as a lens that we can look through to better understand our experience of God's generosity that we celebrate at Pentecost. Because at the heart of every wedding and every marriage is the greatest gift that anyone can ever receive. The most precious gift that a person can ever give or receive is the gift of a person's own self. If you give yourself, there is no greater gift to give. And that's what's at the heart of a marriage service. Well, at least it is in the Church of England, I should say. That's where I've done most of the several hundred marriages that I've done over the years. I did a few here in Hong Kong, when we were here before, but I've not yet conducted a marriage ceremony since coming back. But in the Church of England, at least, the heart of the marriage service is giving of ourself. Because every marriage service is full of beautiful moments. The moments when the bride arrives and the groom sees her for the first time on the wedding day, and the smile that normally goes between them. Just beautiful. The moment when solemn vows are exchanged. But for me, the most astonishing moment in the service is when I was trying to cry at this point, because it just gets me every time, is when the bride and groom, they give and receive a ring, and they say these words one after the other to the other. All that I am, I give to you, and all that I have, I share with you. Those words are just amazing. That's something. What a gift. All that I am, I give to you. And all that I have, I share with you. Now, the person involved may be rich or poor. They may have much or little in terms of what they own and possess and they have to give. But that actually doesn't matter, because they are giving themselves to the other. And that's the most precious gift anyone can ever give or receive. This is what God does at Pentecost and every day since to those who believe. God pours out his Spirit because in his generous love, he gives us the greatest gift that anyone can give. He gives us the gift of his very self. God's very self. So let's just appreciate what this means for a few minutes. The first thing this means is that because he gives us himself, we get to know God and what he's doing. Last week, Carl shared with us from John 3 about Jesus and Nicodemus. The wonders of the website, I've managed to hear the sermon, though I gather I didn't miss the video. But I know that one. That without the enlightenment of God's Spirit, we just can't know him at all. It'll all just go over us and past us. Acts 2, when God gives us his Spirit, pours out his very self, is full of a sense of revelation. Acts 2 verse 17, sons and daughters will prophesy. Young and old men will have visions and dreams. It was a very worrying day when I realized I've probably passed the age of visions into the age of dreaming dreams, but it happens to us all. In verse 18, again it's repeated, and they will prophesy. Prophecy for God is not so much about telling the future, but understanding the present. The gift of being able to know what God is saying, know what God is doing here and now. The Spirit enables everyone who believes to know God truly. Not that we ever know all of God. I mean, we can't contain him within our finite minds. But we can know him truly and honestly. A lifetime of exploring what that means and who he is. As I mentioned already, it's about God's generosity. In verse 17 of Acts 2, it's all people that God pours his Spirit on, literally all flesh, young and old, sons and daughters, men and women. The sense that God's generous love can include them all. There's room for them all. In the past, he'd given his Spirit on special occasions, for special purposes, to special people. But now this gift of his Spirit and his self is for us all. Whatever God may give us or not give us in terms of blessings or spiritual gifts or graces or opportunities or ministries, whatever he gives us, always remember he is giving us the greatest gift of all, himself, his very self. Now, as we receive this gift, some other things happen. First, we realize that as his Spirit comes to us, that we don't understand things properly. When his Spirit comes, he brings a realization that we don't understand things properly. And the crowd on the day of Pentecost, we didn't read this part of the story today, but the crowd on the day of Pentecost asked two wonderful questions. Acts 2 verse 12, they ask, what does this mean? And Acts 2 verse 37, what shall we do? These are wonderful questions. We admit that we need help to understand what's going on. What does it mean? We need help to know what's going on, about what God is doing, even who we are ourselves, where we fit in the scheme of things. Don't know if you saw the movie Ice Age 2. You can see I'm a great connoisseur of movies. There's a character there called Ellie the Mammoth. And the thing about Ellie is that she is very large, very hairy. She has tusks and a trunk. She is a mammoth. The problem is that, for a long story that I won't go into now, she thinks that she is a possum. Possums are small, furry animals that in the film at least hang upside down from trees. And you can see that that's what she's doing in that picture, talking to the other mammoth. She thinks that she's a possum. So she hangs upside down from the tree, she plays dead and all these other things. She doesn't realize really what things are like. It is the Spirit of God within us who reveals to us who we really are, what we're about, how we can relate to God as we truly are. That through Jesus we have received forgiveness of our sins and assurance of that. That we are precious and loved by God as we are. That he really has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And whatever God may or may not give us in terms of blessings or gifts or opportunities or ministries, we remember that he has given us that greatest gift of all, himself. And it's only the Spirit of God who puts us the right way up, well, and explains to us who we really are. The other thing that happens as we realize who we are and that God gives us to himself, gives himself to us, is that our life will inevitably change. We will get put from upside down to the right way up. Acts 2 verse 38. Peter says to the crowd, Peter replies, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. To repent is to turn around. It's to come the right way up. I can no longer go my way. I'm going to go God's way. It's a change of direction. It's one of these signs that you see in famous places with all the different distances to Antarctica and the Brazilian jungle and London and Jerusalem. And it's about not going that way. It's about going that way. A change of direction. Occasionally, when I'm talking to a couple who are preparing for marriage, I get concerned that they haven't taken seriously the changes they'll have to make once they're married. I remember one couple in particular, I always remember them. I asked them in the course of the preparation, what things will be different for you once you're married? They looked at me blankly. Well, I thought I'll try and help them a bit. You know, what's going to be different in terms of, well, how you plan to spend your time, the things that you'll be doing together? They looked at me blankly. Oh, no, they said. Oh, nothing will change much. He'll be going out drinking with his mates on a Saturday night, and I'll be going out drinking with my friends on a Friday night, and life's just going to kind of carry on. Nothing much will change at all. Sadly, I was not surprised that marriage did not turn out well in the long term. Any significant relationship must affect us, and most of all, our relationship with God through his Spirit. Today, Pentecost is the perfect day to take stock of where we are. What are the changes that we need to make that we're not going God's way, we're going our way? What are the changes to make so that we can keep in step with his Spirit, not going our own way? What are the parts of our life that we try and keep to ourselves, kind of keep to ourselves private? Say to God, keep out. Today, can we open them to God's life, God's Spirit, and above all, God's very self? Well, in a few moments, we're going to have our final song, one we sang earlier about finding God's Spirit coming to us. But before that, I'd like us to spend just a few minutes in prayer. Rather than asking people to come up for prayer ministry, I'd like God just to minister to us as a church. God pouring out his Spirit on all people. It's about us together. And maybe join the musicians that have come so are ready to sing in just a few moments. just to take that chance today. Lord, pour out your Spirit on us, your generous love to come to us and assure us of that gift of yourself by your Spirit. Let's stand together. And in just a moment or two, we'll be singing this song. But before that, just some quiet, and I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you above all for the gift of yourself. We pray that you would give us that deep assurance that your love would be poured into our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Give us that deep assurance of who we really are, loved by you through Jesus, that we might receive the gift of your presence and yourself. Father God, we pray that we would grow in the grace and fruit of your Spirit, the very likeness of Christ in us, that fruit of the Spirit that is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Gracious God, work in and through us that we might grow in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That work of your Spirit shaping us like Jesus. Spirit of God, we pray that you would indeed put your finger on that point in our life where today you're calling us to go deeper in your life. And a prayer of openness before God. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.